Again, I wanted to welcome everybody to today's webinar. It's another Wednesday webinar session offered by the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. Today's webinar focuses on opportunities in business, economics, and entrepreneurship. So we will be discussing award opportunities around the world that are available in these particular disciplines and fields. My name is Michelle Balorchi, and I am joined by my colleague Carlene Velez. We are both Fulbright Outreach and Recruitment Specialists at the Institute of International Education. We are, of course, working from home now, but we are based in the Washington, D.C. office. All right, so Carlene, over to you.
All right, thank you very much, Michelle, and thank you everyone who's joining us today. What I'd like to do today is just to start a little bit with the mission of Fulbright. We are actually very proud of the Fulbright mission. We work with about 160 countries worldwide to provide opportunities for faculty, staff, administrators, artists, journalists, students, and professionals to teach, study, or research abroad with the goal of trying to foster mutual understanding between nations. We were established in 1946 by Congress, and we're very excited that next year will mark the 75th anniversary of this international flagship international and educational exchange program sponsored by the U.S. Department of State. Okay, next. Fulbright takes its mission to promote diversity and inclusion very seriously. We strive to try to make sure that the Fulbright recipients represent the diversity of the United States population, and as such, we encourage all individuals, especially people from traditionally underrepresented audience, to apply for our grants. So regardless of your race, color, national origin, sex, age, religion, geographic location, socioeconomic status, disability, sexual orientation, or gender identity, you are all welcome to apply. Next. A little bit about Fulbright by the numbers. We are really proud to say that we offer over 8,000 awards annually, about 10% of which, or 800, go to U.S. scholars, professionals, and administrators. We also have a robust visiting scholar program.
Carlene, I think we lost your sound.
Sorry. When did we lose the sound?
Could you start after the 800 U.S. scholars?
Sure. Sorry. We have about 800 U.S. scholars, 900 visiting scholars, and then we have a wide variety, about 6,000 U.S. and foreign students who participate in the program, including foreign language teaching assistants. We've had about 390,000 Fulbrighters since its inception nearly 75 years ago. Just to give you an idea of how the awards are broken down, for the 2018-19 award cycle, about 38% of the recipients went abroad in the capacity of a teaching and research award. We had another 28% participate in research, 17% participate in teaching-only awards, 9% participated in our administrator seminar, and about 8% participated by doing postdoctoral research. Just so that you guys have a little bit of information, this is not a set distribution. It changes year by year based on the preferences of the scholars who apply. So there's not one category that is preferred over another. The best category is one that actually matches your skills and your expertise. Next. Okay, Michelle.
Okay, great. So in terms of the baseline eligibility for the program, we do require U.S. citizenship. And then after that, it will really depend on the award description. So we do have program eligibility requirements that must be met. But beyond that, the award description is really going to be your guide in terms of matching up your profile and project to what they are seeking in that particular country with that particular award. So we have a range of offerings, and again, I want to underscore that this program is specifically for academics, professionals, independent scholars, artists, journalists, etc. If you are a recent college graduate, you should be checking the Fulbright student program website. So again, those that had extensive professional and teaching experience, you're in the right spot today for the scholar program. So there are some opportunities for postdocs. We also have kind of distinguished chairs on the other end of the spectrum. And then we have awards that are seeking professionals. Then, of course, if there's a teaching component, we do have some guidelines about teaching experience. If you've had a Fulbright Scholar Award in the past, and again, only a Scholar Award, there is a 2-year waiting period that we ask of you as a standard policy before you reapply. But if you've had a specialist grant in the past, that doesn't count towards having a previous scholar grant, and having a student grant in the past also wouldn't count against you. Okay, I always like to say that selecting the right award is half the battle, because we offer more than 450 unique award opportunities, but you can only apply to one award. So this can be a little overwhelming and a bit mind-boggling, but the key to narrow down options is to really find awards that match up to your experience and your field, as well as what you propose to do and how you propose to do it. Is it a teaching proposal? Is it research? Is it a combination? Are there preferred disciplines or subfields listed in the award description that speak directly to what you hope to do? And also, is the project relevant to the host country or the host institution? That would then speak to the impact and outcomes that we hope to see in your project proposal. And then, of course, ensuring that you're applying for the right career level. So the Distinguished Chair Awards, as I mentioned, are for senior academics, at least at the associate professor level or above. And then, of course, we have early career opportunities for those applicants that have recently completed their terminal degree and have teaching experience, et cetera. So it's important to kind of match yourself up to the right award. That's where you'll be the most competitive. All right, so diving right into the opportunities, I cover the Western Hemisphere, and I'd like to showcase some of these awards as highlights. Again, these are simply highlights. It's not the full range of awards that is that are available in the region, but something that we wanted to showcase here. So the first one is the award to Argentina in Social Sciences and Humanities, and that's a more of a shorter length that they offer, 3 to 4 months, and economics is one of the preferred disciplines listed there. A letter of invitation is required from a host institution. Then we have the award to Barbados in Eastern Caribbean. This award actually features a full list of potential host institutions. So if you don't have any contacts there, that's it's a great way to start to see which institutions are interested in business and economics applications. Entrepreneurship is a big focus in Barbados in the Eastern Caribbean. There are about a dozen universities and community colleges that are listed, and you can seek out contacts there for the invitation letter. Moving on, we have the Distinguished Chair at the University of Sao Paulo in Brazil. That's the Distinguished Chair in International Relations. And specifically, they're interested in international trade and economy. They have different sub-themes. World Trade Organization is one of their themes. And so that would be a great opportunity in Brazil for more of the senior scholars. Moving on to Canada, Canada actually has two distinct awards. One is the Research Chairs in Business Management, and the other one is Research Chairs in Economics. And they have prearranged affiliations. A letter of invitation is not required. So depending on where your interest lies and what your field is, you could be either at the University of Alberta or in Ottawa. So there's different opportunities. I believe there's 4 different institutions that are listed, and the contacts are there. The Fulbright Commission in Canada is very active, and they prearrange these affiliations. They're very active in placing the U.S. scholars there. So it's not required that you reach out for an invitation. It would be helpful if you would like to identify a contact and kind of introduce yourself, send across your CV, and a proposal perhaps of what you'd like to do, but certainly the commission is there to assist in placing scholars. Moving on to Chile, we have the Social Science and Humanities Award, and this award, the unique thing about Chile is that the host institution must propose must be able to provide a $1,200 monthly maintenance. So this is the only small difference with this award versus others in the catalog. If you have a contact in Chile that is able to do that, that should be outlined, that support, that monthly support should be outlined in the invitation letter. And there are several universities listed in the award description, as well as the contact at the Fulbright Commission in Chile. So there's assistance there and more guidance about developing contacts in Chile. Moving on to Colombia, and again, this is just one of two awards in Colombia. We also have the All Disciplines Award, which, as that as the title implies, is open to all kinds of projects. But the distinguished chair I wanted to point out, because economics is listed as one of the preferred disciplines, even though the title might not particularly express that interest, but it's a distinguished chair award in biodiversity and sustainable development, and the host is the Universidad Nacional de Colombia. This university has 9 campuses across the country where the scholar could potentially affiliate. If you'd like to get more information, you can email us or you can contact the Commission in Colombia directly. They have recently expanded their offerings to Colombia, so this is a relatively new award. It was introduced last year, and the All Disciplines Award offers 16 grants, so up to 16 scholars can be selected for the All Disciplines, and then this Chair Award offers 1 grant, so a total of 17 opportunities in Colombia. Moving on to Mexico, we have the Fulbright Garcia Robles U.S. Studies Professorship Chair, and I wanted to point this award out because even though the title has U.S. Studies in it, there is one particular university that is interested in bringing economists to their university. That's in Puebla. So this university, this award has 4 potential host institutions, and there are 4 grants. So this is a placed award. The commission in Mexico places the scholar depending on their field of expertise. And so in that way, the letter of invitation is not required. In fact, you should not seek out a letter of invitation. Suriname has the All Disciplines Award, and I always like to promote Suriname because a lot of people are not aware that Suriname has a Fulbright Award, and some people might not be aware where it is, what it is. It's a very small country in Latin America, and it is definitely interested in projects in building capacity and development in the country. So Suriname, if you haven't heard about it and you're curious, please do check out that award. It is open to all disciplines. And then last but not least, the award to Trinidad and Tobago is very interesting. They are specifically looking for projects in entrepreneurship and teaching of entrepreneurship and business management at the undergrad level, as well as building capacity with faculty, enhancing curriculum and faculty training. So that is at the College of Science, Technology, and Applied Arts in Port of Spain, Trinidad. All right, Carlene, over to you.
All right, thank you very much, Michelle. Now we will move on to Europe and your Asia, and I'd like to highlight a handful of awards. Just for those of you who might be wondering, we have awards in business and economics in many other countries as well, but we're just pulling out a few that we thought would be of interest to you. So I will start with Austria. Austria has 3 interesting awards that do seek scholars in the field of business and economics at Vienna University of Economics and Business, the Alpen Adria Universitat Award. This one is actually a new award this year, and they're specifically seeking projects in behavioral economics and energy economics. So if that is your specialty, then you would be a very good fit for that. And also Johannes Kepler University Linz is seeking scholars in business and economics for these awards. In Belarus, there is a teaching opportunity at the economics and or business administration. It is for 4 to 5 months at specific institutions. And so you can look and see if there's a match between those institutions and a place that you might like to share your skills and teaching capacity there. Moving on to Finland. Finland has 2 exciting Distinguished Chair Awards. And when awards are listed as Distinguished Chair, you would want to look at the award requirements to see what level you need to be in at your institution. It's generally associate or above. But we have opportunities at Aalto University and the Henken School of Economics in Helsinki. The Aalto University Award is for 3 to 9 months. It is teaching, research, and capacity. And the specific contacts are listed in the award description to help with securing that letter of invitation that is required for this particular award. At the Henkin School of Economics, the award can be anywhere from 2 to 12 months, and we have the flex option for that award, which allows you to carry out your project in multiple shorter trips. Moving on to Ireland. Ireland has an Entrepreneurship and Business Innovation Award. This is also a new award this year. It's a 3-month teaching research grant to Letterkey Institute of Technology. In Italy, they are seeking a scholar for a lectureship in energy, environment, and sustainability. And this one, really in particular, they're looking for people with an expertise in circular economy, green management, and sustainable finance. This award starts in February 2022. Moving on to Portugal. Portugal has a Fulbright Award in Management. It is a 3-month teaching research award that has a contact listed to, again, assist you in getting that letter of invitation. The Slovak Republic is specifically seeking scholars in the field of economics to come and work in their institution. Spain actually has 7 different awards at various universities. So if you are interested in an experience in Spain and working with Spanish scholars, I would encourage you to go and look through the awards to Spain, because there are many awards that are sponsored by specific partner institutions that would allow you to teach or conduct research at those institutions. And the final award that I'd like to highlight is an award to Turkey in Business Administration and Economics. Next slide, please.
Great. All right, so moving on to Sub-Saharan Africa. Again, we have several dozen awards to Sub-Saharan Africa, but I wanted to bring these to our attention because they have economics or business listed as a preferred discipline. So starting with Burkina Faso, they have their Business Administration Law or Medical Sciences Award. And so, again, seeking scholars in business administration. And for the most part, the awards to Sub-Saharan Africa are teaching-focused. There might be teaching research as well, but again, the focus in Sub-Saharan Africa is really to build capacity, and that's why a lot of the grants are longer in duration. So 6 or 10 months, 5 or 10 months. So typically the preference is for the scholar to be placed there for the full academic year. Côte d'Ivoire has the Economics and Finance Award, and then the other awards that I've listed here are either open to all disciplines or multiple disciplines. And what I wanted to point out with Mauritius, for example, for those of you that are not exactly aware about Mauritius, just to kind of highlight it, it's an island state located off of the coast of the southern eastern coast of Africa. It's beautiful. And it is ranked as one of the highest ranked country in Africa, Sub-Saharan Africa, for the ease of doing business. And this is one of the focus points of the award, is they'd like to bring in scholars to teach about business administration, business innovation, things like that, small business entrepreneurship, because it is one of the focuses of the U.S. Embassy there to boost ties between the United States and Mauritius. Namibia has an award as well. Namibia is right above, it's in southern Africa, right above sharing a border with South Africa. It has an award that is interested in economics. And then the award to South Africa is separated from the STEM field, so this one focuses on bringing in scholars. There's up to 10 grants, actually, for business and economics, and the award lists 26 potential university affiliations in the country. This is also a 6 to 10 month grant, and it's also open to postdocs and professional applicants. And then moving on to Zambia, we have a new award at the University of Zambia. Copperbelt continues to offer their award as well. These are teaching research awards. And again, just to clarify, a lot of the countries in Southern Africa, the English is the medium of instruction, so that's the case in Zambia as well. And I'd like to also highlight that A lot of these awards offer stipends for families. So in the case of Zambia, there is a stipend available for two accompanying dependents, and children could be placed in the American International School in the capital of Lusaka. And so, again, if you think about it, is a longer-term grant oftentimes in sub-Saharan Africa, so they encourage you to bring families, and those stipends are available. In order to qualify for the stipends, the dependent stipends, the dependents must accompany the scholar for at least 80% of the grant duration. And Zambia, with these two particular awards at Copper Belt and at the University of Zambia, they're particularly interested in accounting and small business management, as well as energy economics and international finance. And then again, the award to Zimbabwe also is open to multiple affiliations, so those are listed in the award, and stipend benefits, I believe, are listed in the, you'll find that in the stipend and benefits section. Over to you, Carlene.
Okay, thank you very much. So I will talk to you about some of the awards in the Middle East and North Africa. So let's start off with Bahrain. Bahrain has a specific business and economics award with a focus on public-private partnerships, investment, non-governmental organizations, free trade agreements, and a bilateral trade relationship. So they really are seeking experts in the field that you all offer. Egypt also has its own business administration award, and this is for 4 to 9 months, and all specializations that are commonly taught in business schools are welcome for this particular award. So thinking of all of the different disciplines that are common. The Middle East and North Africa also has a variety of these awards that are called all disciplines. And so under these awards, it is acceptable to go with business and economics. And the awards that we highlighted here are ones that did list business or economics as preferences. The award to Kuwait is really exciting because they offer the flex option, which allows you to go and conduct a project in a couple shorter visits, and they also have the professional project as an option. The professional project is for people who might not be doing traditional academic research, but still would like to go for professional purposes to either teach a course or share some skills or learn some new skills that they can learn in Kuwait. Moving on to Oman. Oman did list business and economics both as preferences, and with the award to Oman, they are also accepting people with MBA, so not necessarily a PhD in business, and that is very flexible. The award itself can be 3 to 10 months in length. Moving on to Israel, I would like to highlight the postdoctoral fellowship at Ben-Gurion University of the Negev. This opportunity for the postdoc is 10 to 20 months in length. So if you are within the first 3 to 5 years of completing your PhD, you would be eligible for the postdocs. If you are graduating before the grant start date, you would be eligible for the postdoc. And then finally, moving on to Morocco. Morocco is a very flexible award that we're highlighting in this region because it accepts a professional project, research only, teaching research combination. So there are a number of options that you can choose from that would make this project or your project to Morocco really fit within your goals and your needs. Next.
Great. All right. So moving to South and Central Asia. We have some of the highlights here. So Bhutan lists economics as one of the preferred disciplines. This is a 10-month teaching grant, and a letter of invitation should not be sought. The government of Bhutan will place the scholar according to where the need is greatest and where the impact will be greatest, also depending on the scholar's particular field. So this is there's one grant available to Bhutan, and that's in multiple disciplines. Kazakhstan also is open to multiple disciplines, including business and economics. And the interesting thing about Kazakhstan and a few of the other countries in Central Asia, but particularly Kazakhstan, there's a great effort to In fact, they've put into policy making English the third official language. So bringing in American scholars to teach in their universities is certainly of great interest to Kazakhstan. So if you're looking to make a lot of impact and you haven't really narrowed down which region or which award, Kazakhstan might be a good fit. And that is a 5 to 10 month award. We also have the award to Maldives. This one is open to professionals, and economics is one of the preferred disciplines. There's only a couple of disciplines listed, and the scholar could either affiliate with the University of Malé, that is the main higher education institution in the country, or they could be affiliated with a ministry, so perhaps Ministry of Finance or Economics. So if you have questions about that, please do contact me. And then we have the other countries, a couple other countries in Central Asia, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan, also interested in projects relating to business and economics. I believe Turkmenistan, there should the letter of invitation should not be sought, but we do have a list of potential host affiliations listed in the award description, as well as the U.S. Embassy contacts for all of these particular awards. And then, of course, the largest offering in the region we can't ignore is India. There are 42 grants available in the All Disciplines Academic and Professional Excellence Award. That award is open to professionals as well as academics. And then we have the two Distinguished Chair Awards, making for a total of 44 grant opportunities to India. India also hosts the South and Central Asia Mid-Year Conference. So if you are a grantee to South and Central Asia, to any of the countries in the region, and you happen to be in the region on your grant during the time of the Mid-Year Conference, which is typically February or March, you would be flown into India to meet other Fulbrighters and to share you know, what you're doing on your project, and there's cultural performances and things like that. It's a wonderful opportunity to network with other grantees in the region. And then lastly, the award to Nepal is open to all disciplines. The Kathmandu University there is seeking scholars in economics, and this is a teaching research award. The ratio is actually 80% teaching, 20% research. So the focus is really on building capacity and teaching students in Nepal. All right, Carly.
Okay. Thank you. Let's move on to East Asia and the Pacific. Let's start in Australia. Australia has the Fulbright Future Scholarship, which is funded by the Kinghorn Foundation. And this award is very exciting because it focuses on projects that will have a positive impact on the health, prosperity, and livelihood of Americans and Australians through collaborative research and development. It is open to all levels of academics, to postdocs, to professionals, but really that underlying emphasis of any project proposed for the Kinghorn Foundation Award is that it has to positively impact the health, prosperity, and livelihood of the citizens in the U.S. and Australia. The award to Burma is a business-focused award, it's all called all disciplines, but they are asking specifically for business. And in Burma, the focus really is on capacity building, doing some training, curriculum development within Burma. Moving along to Hong Kong. Hong Kong All Disciplines Award allows for teaching or teaching and research. It is 5 to 10 months with a request for both people in the field of business and economics. Malaysia, the All Discipline Award, has a focus on economics and business and entrepreneurship. So if you are in the field of entrepreneurship, this is specifically requested in Malaysia. The award to the Philippines is also an All Disciplines Award, and this focus in the award is for international trade and finance. So if you do that, especially in conjunction with information or happenings in the Philippines, then this is a good fit for you. And then I'd finally like to highlight one more postdoctoral award, the award to Taiwan in arts, education, humanities, professional fields, and social sciences. Because the professional fields are included, this is a great fit for economists and business representatives. So this postdoc award is for people who are within the first 3 years of filing their PhD. Okay, next. Next, I would like to highlight the multi-country awards that we are offering. So these awards allow you the opportunity to go to different places depending on how they match up with your research. The Carlos Rico Award for North American Studies allows you to conduct research in Canada and Mexico, focusing on that bridge in the North American Studies field. The Cross Straits Research Program is a program that allows you to conduct comparative work between China and Taiwan, with short trips to Hong Kong also possible. So if that region is your specialty, this is a really wonderful opportunity. In the European Union, we have the Fulbright-Schumann European Union Affairs Program that deals with business and economics issues that are relevant to the EU. Iceland and Greece also have a joint award on economic crisis management. So this is a really exciting award for people in your field. The Middle East and North Africa have a regional research program. So if you are doing any work in business or economics that requires that you travel to more than two to three countries in the Middle East and North Africa, this is an excellent opportunity to be able to do that comparative work. Spain-Greece also has a joint teaching and research award that allows you to spend half of your time in each of the countries listed here on this award. South and Central Asia also have a regional research program that allows you to spend time in 2 to 3 countries in the South and Central Asia region. In Southeast Asia, the ASEAN research program exists to really have scholars who focus on issues that affect the entire ASEAN region, of which business and economics are components. And then finally, Sub-Saharan Africa has a regional research program as well that allows you to either take one multi-visit trip to one country in Africa or multiple, or a visit that allows you to visit multiple countries in Africa. So this research program is slightly different than the others because it does allow multiple trips back to the same country, whereas many of the other regional research awards require that you go to 2 to 3 countries. In the Sub-Saharan Africa Award, you are welcome to go to 2 to 3 countries if that aligns with your research interests and goals. And then finally, we have the Fulbright Public Policy Fellowship. This is for people who are early career applicants, so probably within 5 years of getting a master's degree, generally in the fields of public policy, public health, or any other field, economics or business, that might be related to work that is done in a foreign ministry. So for the countries listed here, Burma, Cote d'Ivoire, Peru, and Ukraine, you would actually be placed as a member in a foreign ministry to conduct work that matches up with your area of specialization. Next.
Great. So those were some of the highlights that we wanted to share. And now we wanted to share some successful past projects. And again, I found these in our Scholar directory, and we're happy to show you where you can locate that. So if you'd like to get an idea of past projects in a particular country or field or subfield, you're welcome to use the directory. So I just pulled out a couple from different places around the world. We had a scholar go to Denmark and work on media innovations in business communication, marketing, and entrepreneurship at the Aarhus Business College. There was a teaching grant to Mexico City looking at the intersection of entrepreneurship and social entrepreneurship in terms of curriculum and literature. And in Philippines, there was a teaching and research project called The Economics of Rice Markets and Policy. We also have had an applied microeconomics project called The Wealth Health Cycle in Nigeria. That's also teaching and research. And a newer project to Brazil was a research-only project looking at innovation in agribusiness entrepreneurship, and that was at University of Sao Paulo. So just to give you some sample ideas and things of what people have done in the past, you're welcome to reach out to alumni listed in our directory. Again, the directory goes back 10 years. It's listed on CIES.org. and feel free to use that directory to not only search for alumni and view past projects, but also to get an idea of potential host institutions and perhaps reaching out to alumni that have been placed in the institution where you'd like to affiliate and perhaps using them as a connection to get an introduction or get some feedback about their experience. So moving on to our next slide, let's see.
Okay, right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So this image on the slide, I know it might be difficult to read on the screen, but I wanted to point out that this is what an award description looks like. And in particular, I wanted to point out the fact that there are four distinct tabs on an award description that give you very important information. The first tab that says award details provides all of the basic information. How long can the award be? Where is it located? What type of activity can you do? What disciplines are accepted? So a lot of the facts of the award. The second tab, the award requirements tab, this is a very, very important tab because it lists whether or not you need a letter of invitation and whether or not you need specific language skills to apply for the award. So I would encourage you to look at that at the beginning of the process. If it says that you need intermediate Spanish skills and you do not have them, then you can automatically eliminate that award and maybe go and look at some other awards of interest to you. We will be talking a little bit about letters of invitation in a minute. The third tab, the stipend and benefits tab, that is very important because that highlights what your stipend will look like in an award. We are really proud to say that at Fulbright, over 60% of our awards do offer some form of support for dependents, generally in the form of an additional airline ticket or tickets, and possibly funding for K-12 education at international schools. So you do want to look at the stipend and benefits tab to see what that entails. And then the final tab is an overview of the country in the region. But you should look carefully at all four tabs as you're considering the awards to apply for. Next.
Great. So the project statement, this is one of the key pieces of the proposal of the application. So the project statement has a page limit of 3 to 5 pages. And you'll notice for the other components in the application, there will always be page limits. So it's important to take a look at those in advance. But the key things that we're looking for when the review committee is assessing the application is the project statement should share what you plan to do in that particular country, what courses you plan to teach, and the goals of your research, including your methodology. So we're really looking for what you hope to do, where you hope to do it, why you hope to do it, and why that host institution. The other thing that we're looking for is a discussion on impact, not only for you and your project and your research, but also for the host. The host institution, the host country, as well as when you get back to the U.S., your home institution. How will you plan to bring back your Fulbright experience? Is that, you know, changing your curriculum to make it more international, kind of reflecting on your experience? Is it continuing to collaborate with your colleagues abroad? Is it starting a course that would take students over to that country? Or perhaps bringing one of your colleagues over as a Fulbrighter by way of providing an invitation letter, so encouraging that person to apply for a Fulbright visiting scholar grant. So these are the things that we'd like to see kind of outlined. We're looking for that multiplier effect. In the application form itself, in the past, we used to ask you to address the questions that are called supplemental questions. We've now separated those into the application form. So we encourage you to begin early with the application because there are these short answer fields that must be included as well. So why are you interested in Fulbright? Why this particular country? Again, keep in mind the goals and the mission of the program is to promote mutual understanding, and this is a program that is largely funded by the State Department, including our partners overseas, but also this is really, at the core of it, a cultural diplomacy program. So speaking about your adaptability, about your ability to handle difficult and challenging situations, things like that. And also, how will you adapt your materials for the host culture or have kind of a plan B? We often hear from alumni when they return, they've come prepared with syllabi and this and that and the other thing to teach, and they walk into the classroom and realize that the level that they had prepared for wasn't exactly the level of the students or the faculty that they were training. And so having something ready in your back pocket to fall back on, because, again, it might not be as you expect. Okay, and now moving on to the affiliations or the invitation letter. So Carlene had mentioned that in the award description, that is typically outlined in the award requirements tab. So in the second tab, you'll find at the top whether an invitation is either required, optional, preferred, or should not be sought. So as I mentioned earlier, some awards are placed and they don't want you to seek out an affiliation or make any contact. Others, about half of the awards in the catalog, require an affiliation letter, an invitation. So keep in mind that there's multiple ways to find out who should be the host or if there's a host preferred. So in one case we have here, for example, the location might be listed in the award description. So the example here, the University of Oran or the University of Algiers. So that would then be the place that you'd want to start looking for contacts, either looking up the university online, seeing which departments and which colleagues would be the most, make the most sense to your project, and sending across your CV and a kind of an abstract of your project. If an award lists, any accredited institution or any appropriate institution as the potential location, that really is on you, the applicant, to determine where you would be the best fit. Now, let's say you're applying to India and you've never been there, you don't have any colleagues or contacts there, and you don't really know how to begin. Well, that's where you can reach out to us or any contacts that are listed in the award description. So, again, those are the places to start. If a host is not identified, check the award description. You can also check the directory, as I mentioned, and of course you can reach out to us. We're happy to share potential host institutions based on what the Fulbright Commission or the U.S. Embassy there suggests to us. And of course, if you have an international office on campus, check to see if any visiting scholars have been from that particular, are from the country that you're seeking an affiliation, and see if perhaps they can be of assistance. Keep in mind that the invitation letter is non-binding. So if you do require an invitation and you do receive one, again, it's non-binding. Perhaps they've issued several other invitations because it's a requirement of the award. And again, it depends on if that is outlined in the award description. But the person that it should come from, ideally, is the person that you hope to collaborate with. Unless it's otherwise stated in the award description that there's a contact person that would provide the invitation letter, we'd like to hear from the person that you hope to collaborate with, and we'd like to have as much detail as possible. That letter should be on letterhead, and it should outline the length of time that you plan to be there, so that should match up with the award, the timeline perhaps, any courses, the titles of the courses that you plan to teach, or the project, the research project that you'll be collaborating on, and any kind of facilities that they offer. It's not required, but oftentimes institutions offer office space or library access, lab access, things like that. Anything that the institution is offering should be outlined there as well. And of course, the enthusiasm and the excitement to host you, as well as the impact that you'll have being there at the institution, should be outlined as well. All right, so almost winding up, and then we'll get to your questions. This is the application cycle. So we are now in the kind of halfway point, almost halfway point to the deadline. The competition is open until September 15th, and these are for awards in the 21-22 academic year. So 2021 fall and spring of 2022. The deadline is in September, and the first review takes place in the U.S. That's a discipline review. Recommended applications are then reviewed in the country of the application, and final decisions are made in country. And then the grantees are then notified between January and April whether they are selected. And if you have any questions that come up after the webinar, if we're not able to get to them, I wanted to share our contact information. You can reach us at scholars@iie.org. I encourage you also to sign up at My Fulbright or begin your application now. You'll get notifications and announcements as needed in terms of application components or tips. And again, follow us on social media. All of our handles are here. It's basically Fulbright or Fulbright Program. And of course, we encourage you to refer your colleagues and share the experience. This is one of the few award opportunities that programs that offers so many awards out there. Again, 800 awards annually to U.S. scholars and professionals. So on that note, I think we will open it up to questions. So let's see if we what questions we
I
can start
off
with.
Yes. Okay, Michelle, there's one question. Is there a distinguished chair in entrepreneurship? So I'm wondering if you could show the audience how you might go about looking for distinguished chair awards in the catalog.
Sure. All right. Let me just open up the catalog.
And as Michelle's getting the catalog ready for other people, I see a couple questions coming in. Please do insert your questions into the chat box, and we will make sure to get to as many as possible in the time frame.
Great. So I've gone to our the main website, cis.org. This is our landing page. And if you click right here to browse the catalog, you'll get the catalog, which I've opened up here. And we're just going to click on Search Awards. You'll see here on the left-hand side the different filters that you can search. So if you'd like to find a distinguished chair, just the list of distinguished chair opportunities, you would look under Candidate Profile and click on Distinguished Chair. We should also narrow it down by discipline, so either business, economics, and then we'll hit Search. And then we see that there are 18 awards, 9 of which are in all disciplines. And we can get that list right here. So here we see the one to Austria, for example, right? And the contact person, as well as the option to join an office hour. These office hours are held every day, Monday through Thursday, for 1 hour, depending on the region. So I can show you what that looks like here. So for example, today we have the office hour for Sub-Saharan Africa. And tomorrow it will be East Asia and the Pacific, as well as Middle East and North Africa. And you can sign in at the moment they start or in advance if you'd like to have that on your calendar. So that would be the way to find the Distinguished Chair Awards by searching here for Candidate Profile.
All right. Thank you very much, Michelle. So there's another person who is asking about the definition of professional. And they said, I don't need to be affiliated with a school right now. So the best way to answer the question about professional is that you need to be established in your field. So you need to have some form of an advanced degree generally, though not always. And you need to have maybe about 10 or so years of experience in the field. There are certain awards that say that a university affiliation is required, but if it does not say that it's required, then you may be eligible. But for any type of eligibility questions, I would encourage you to go to the award that you're considering and send your CV to the contact listed on that award, and we can help you determine eligibility before you even begin the application. And I would encourage you to do that if you are in a situation that might not be the typical professor working at a university. We would gladly help you determine eligibility.
Mm-hmm. And I also just wanted to point out that I filtered for professionals here, and so you can see the awards that are open to professionals in business economics.
Okay, thank you very much, Michelle. Here's a question for you. Do you have any guidance for the home institution letter of recommendation? So the application I know requires 2 letters of recommendation. Is it better to have the department head or the dean, for example?
So that's a great question, and we do have guidance on that. So if you click on, if you were to click on any award, let's say we click here, I can show you where you can get that guidance. You would click on Begin the Application Process, And the guidance we have is if the award or if the proposal includes teaching, that it should come from somebody at your home institution that has observed your teaching. If it's a research award that you're applying for, and that's not a requirement that it be directly from your home institution, it would really be the person who can speak most and really speak best to your qualifications and your project. So again, it's about the quality, not necessarily about the rank or stature of the recommender. Certainly that does count, but we would really like to see something beyond a boilerplate recommendation, something where the recommender really can speak to what you've been doing and how a Fulbright makes sense for your career as a next step. And they need not be an alumni of the program. Oftentimes we get questions, you know, should I get an alumni to recommend me? That's not necessary. Again, it should be someone who can speak to your qualifications and your proposal, and that guidance is right here.
All right, thank you, Michelle. We have a question coming in about Oman. It said that someone has been there in the past and the institution they were affiliated with provided housing. How is housing handled? First, I can tell you that for the award to Oman, you get a base stipend, and that covers all of your expenses that you incur, including your housing. You would find that in the stipend and benefits tab. It's the third tab on the award description. So if you are considering an award to Oman, you would click on that third tab, stipend and benefits, and you would look at what that financial stipend would be so that you could determine yourself whether you feel comfortable with that, providing all of the housing allowances you need. But I have to say, generally speaking, the awards do cover living expenses and stipends in the country so that the scholar can carry out their scholarly activities. Okay. Can you repeat how to know if affiliations are needed and if accounting is considered part of business?
Sure. So I've got this award open, and I've clicked on the second tab, Award Requirements, and the first thing that's always listed is whether an invitation is required or not. And so you'll find that here, and if there's any additional information, that will be found underneath it. So it says all applicants are required, so that's fine. In terms of accounting, it would really depend on what is listed in the award description. You can also do a keyword search, and that you can do, if I go back, you could type in a keyword right here. So you can see some of the searches that I've done before, and you would type that in there. And that would bring up awards that specifically mention accounting in them. But we also have a new discipline feature, accounting and finance, so that's also there as well.
All right. Thank you, Michelle. And if you are asking about needing an affiliation in the United States to be eligible for specific awards, that would be in the second tab, the awards requirements tab. When they provide descriptions of the type of scholar they're seeking, you will occasionally see that the scholars must have an institutional affiliation, but that could be found in that second awards requirements tab. If you are confused about the language in any of the award description, if it appears unclear to you, again, reach out to the contact in the award description and we can help clarify any uncertainty with you.
Correct. So, for example, this award, the Kinghorn Foundation Award, the Future Scholarship to Australia, it states academic candidates must be appropriately qualified at associate or full professor level, so that means having an affiliation, and then professional applicants must have at least 10 years of relevant work experience.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to move on to a question about postdoc, the postdoctoral award. So someone said that they're getting their terminal degree in July 2020. Are they eligible for the postdocs? Yes. In the award descriptions that are for postdocs, they will highlight how they determine the postdocs. Some awards require you to be within 3 years of filing your dissertation. Others require you to be within 5 years of filing your dissertation. Others just say that your dissertation must be filed before your degree begins. So it really does depend on the award, but if you are graduating in July 2020, then I would encourage you to apply for a postdoc award. My name is Carlene. Also, feel free to reach out to me because I do oversee a lot of the support for the postdoctoral applicants. Okay. Do I have to be a native speaker to pick a region? Now, that one, the language requirements that are necessary, you can find them in the awards requirements tab. So if you are asking if you need to be a native speaker of Spanish to go to a Spanish-speaking country, no, that is not necessary. It will say some form of Spanish is required, perhaps intermediate level Spanish. But the one thing I would like to mention in terms of language is first that a majority of the awards in the catalog will allow you to apply even if English is the only language that you speak. Second, the awards that you are applying for where you do not have proficiency in the language, it is essential in your project statement that you outline how you will be able to conduct your research or do your teaching without knowledge of the native language of the country that you're going to. So if, for example, you are going to be working with a translator or if you have an English-speaking collaborator at the institution that you're proposing to work with, you would just clearly outline all of that in your project statement so that the reviewers will be able to determine the feasibility of your project. Okay. Michelle, there's a person who is asking about if they can only apply for one award, can you do a backup country or some sort of backup?
That's a good question. So the answer is that yes, you can only apply for one award, but in the application we do ask if you are interested in alternate placements. So in the rare circumstance that it comes up, we'd like to know if you have any other award or country of interest. And so you will have that option to fill out in the application. But again, the project statement should only focus on the country that you're applying to.
Thank you, Michelle. And moving on to another question about distinguished chairs. Can you tell me, is there a difference between distinguished chair awards and normal awards that are asking for senior professors?
Sure. So typically the distinguished chair awards have a higher stipend than the other awards. And again, the chair would have a higher, kind of a more prestigious placement at the institution. So there would be perhaps more featured seminars or lectures or things like that, just as you would think about a chair position in the U.S., a little more kind of higher level. But again, if a country doesn't offer a distinguished chair award and it is open to academics at all levels, you will be competitive if you're a senior scholar that has a strong publication and teaching record. So we do encourage you to apply to a distinguished chair award when possible, but again, we understand that not all countries offer these. And there are some research chairs that you'll notice to Canada. They are called chairs, research chairs, but they are different from the distinguished chair options.
Okay, thank you, Michelle. It looks like we need to wrap up right now. We're coming to the end of our program, but I see that there are still a large number of questions that we were unable to answer today. So for those of you who did ask a question and we were unable to answer it, I encourage you to email scholars@iie.org, or if it's a question specifically related to an award, Michelle, if you can display the contact information. Every award has contact information of the program staff who handles that award. So please also feel free to reach out to us to discuss projects or eligibility, whatever it is that you might have asked a question about that we were unable to answer. But we thank you again for joining us today. Thank you for your interest in the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. We really look forward to working with you and working with you, of course, to complete an application before the September 15th deadline.
Wonderful. Well, thank you everyone for joining us today, and we look forward to assisting you in your application and as you proceed. Have a great afternoon.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.